We're starting on Reish Tes. לא, מתחילים עכשיו. Okay, let's start with learning a little locha. We're starting Perek Hay. Dav Reish Tes, Kegamul Ala Imoy, subparagraph, Al Pi Hashem Yichomu, Al Pi Hashem Yisol. It's talking about the Yonan HaKovet, that it was when the Klal Yisrael encamped in the Midbar, so they didn't move, they encamped with Hashem's word, and they traveled with Hashem's word. Yeah, everybody with me, we're not worlding. Shulchan Aruch Ol Chaim Siman Aleph Sif Hey, you can sort of suppose you've done your halacha for the day. Mube Shetoyv Loim is Pasha Saman. It's a toiv thing to do. Pasha Saman. I don't like translating the word toiv because you guys don't know what it means. What does toiv mean?
Good.
Yeah, what does toiv mean? Good. When you write an exam, you get toiv. How much is that? What percentage? About 70%, 75%. Yeah.
Toiv means 100%.
Well, not in our concept.
I'm saying in reality.
Yeah, well, because it says, well, it means even more than 100%. It means tafkid. Toiv means that's exactly what the thing's supposed to be used for. Vayar Hashem is all ki toiv. Hashem saw the oil was toiv. It means it was sholem. It had reached its tafkid.
It's kind of or
yeah, so when we read Vayar Hashem is ki toiv, we got that 75%. Hashem saw the lights. It's good. What's good? We need fantastic, unbelievable, mitsuyan, mule. Toiv. Toiv is that's you can't get anything better than toiv. Toiv lahodes l'Hashem. What's it saying? It's a good thing to do. Toiv lahodes means the tafkid of a Jew is lahodes l'Hashem. That's what you're in the world for. Toiv. Toiv in Chumash, in Tanakh language, means tafkid. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's mother called him Tuvia. I have a kasha, why do we call him Moshe? Good kasha. When the Mishnah Berurah Sham, see if God knew Gimel, Heavy, Vashem, a place skin, so every Pasha is a man, Kadei Shearim, Yamin, Shekom, and Azoi, so Boim, Bahashkocha, Pratis. Why do you have to say Pasha Saman? Why is it a good thing to do? Because there's some sort of magic in there that kind of is going to get your bank manager to be more generous? Maybe. But the Mishnah Berurah says, you know what? Because so if you say it, a person will come to believe that all his nourishment, sustenance comes by a hashgacha pratis. Someone who does more will not get more, and somebody who minimizes will not get less. That increasing hishtadlis doesn't help. Once you've determined what your minimum chiyuv of ishtadlis is, doing more is not going to change your panosa. Not doing enough ishtadlis can have an effect, as we said before. If the ishtadlis is a kli that's machzik brocha, so if you don't have the kli, you won't get the brocha. You have to provide a kli. Dor HaMidbar haya dor daya. The Dor HaMidbar is called the dor daya. It means the generation that knew Hashem, but knew Him in a very real way. Das doesn't mean it's an intellectual knowledge, it means a real knowledge. Hem chayu b'hanhoge sheyisabot talois mukhletes b'kodesh baruch hu. They live with a total dependence on a kodesh baruch hu. You can't even organize a chassid, you know. Well, which hall are you going to book? The hall in Rafidim, but tomorrow you might be in Sukkos. You don't know when you're going to move, you don't know where you're going, you don't have an itinerary. Dain Dinner once gave a shiur on this. I mean, it was, you know, Dain Dinner can keep you. I mean, I was splitting, but it was genius. He describes a family, a full family with 10 children. They go to the airport, they're flying to Eretz Yisrael back from America or whatever, and he says they each had one hand luggage per finger, you know, like, it's like a Jew tells you only had one hand luggage. Well, I've only got one hand luggage, you know, like per finger. So you get to the airport and they tell you the plane's been delayed, we don't know how long it's been delayed, we'll go home and we'll call you when you're taking off. How long? Be'erach, we don't know. It could be days, could be weeks, could be months, we don't know. So you go back home, wherever home is, in a park bench, and you wait for the phone call. You want to go to sleep? Well, should you say Amapil? Shouldn't you say Amapil? You know, he has a hole for about 15 minutes. And I was platzing from laughter the way he describes the scene. But that's what it was like living in the Midbar. They got to some places they stayed for a day. They got to other places they stayed for months. You want to make a chasana, so you go, you know, you always like to make a chasana. Trying to rent an apartment. You're, what are you talking about? You could move countries next week. You know, you book at the Tamil and the wedding's in London. That's how they live, these people. Totally dependent on Hashem. I'm not talking about, we'll see. They didn't even have one kazas of bread for tomorrow. Totally dependent on Hashem. Every day you got your food, it was nice. Hashem knocked on the door and gave you your meals on wheels. They deliver it every day. You don't know if you're going to have food. So a person's a geriatric stuck in the apartment, so they have meals on wheels. Whatever the meals on wheels doesn't arrive today. Totally dependent. And Hashem praises us. Zechati lecha chesed nuraich, ahavta klalusayich, lachtecha achara b'midbar b'eretz lo zeruah. They made a song out of it already. I remember the chesed you did for me in your youth, the love of your klalusayich,
your bride,
the color. You walked after me into a midbar and eretz lo zeruah, an uncharted land. You followed me into the midbar. Followed me. Hashem says, I still remember the chesed you did me.
And how's the song go?
Am Yisrael tsa'ad achrei Hashem bebetochen molech. Kula yoda on haichin yegiyu mezoinu macha. He doesn't know his food's coming from. Ein lo kol tochnit מלבד התוכנית היחידי ללכת אחרי השם וכפי שנאמר. He had only one purpose, one job. He didn't know what to do. All he did was he walked off the ship. There was nothing else to do in the midbar. כפי שנאמר, על פי השם יכונו ועל פי השם יסו. They camp by word of Hashem and they travel by word of Hashem. לפעמים הם חיינים יום או יומיים. He says it good. Sometimes one or two days they camped, ולפעמים חודש או שנה. Sometimes a month, day, years. הם לא קויבים מאומה, רק השם הוא המויר להם אסדורכם. They didn't have any say in the matter. You wake up in the morning, Hashem, what do you want me to do? You do it, that's it, finish up. Are we staying at home today? Are we traveling today? Nothing to say. Whatever Abba says, we'll do. It's amazing lifestyle, eh? Unbelievable lifestyle. All you have to do is just sit and learn, everything's taken care of. It's like being in Shiva Bocha. Don't have to worry about anything. You get up, get a shachris, minion, hopefully. You go to breakfast, waiting. Hopefully you got to learn, everything's worked out for you. What should I do now? No, look at the schedule. What does it say on the schedule? Go do it. No chishpoinus, no nothing. You just, yeah. Do you know where the next meal's coming from? No, I'm sure it's really good. It's not going to come out there. No, it's not what she is. What it's supposed to be. You're going to look shocked, okay?
Just tired.
Very tired.
Got to keep going.
It's still possible to prevent the Beis Hamikdash from being destroyed next week. You haven't given up, have you? Good. Ba'anhova zut limit v'chinuchatan Hashem yisparach keitzad aleinu l'inay kiyom. Kasher anu mishtadlim l'panaseinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the midbar taught us, embedded deeply into the Jewish psyche, how a person is supposed to live even today. We make ishtadlis v'apanasa chayshin b'sha harisha v'zoyin b'sha zariya. We plow in the plowing season and we plant in the planting season. It's incumbent upon us to know there is not a shtadlus that brings us upon us. Walking behind Hashem with tmimus, that and only that alone brings us upon us. I want to just make one simple observation. You can listen as well. just an observation. I'm not making any political statements here. I'm not saying anything outrageous. It just dawned on me yesterday that the Scud War, yeah, that happened, everyone know what I'm talking about? How, when was it?
91.
No, it wasn't 91. Scud War, so long ago?
Gulf War 1 was 91. Gulf War 2 is 2002.
I'm talking about Gulf War 1. Yeah, 15 years ago already. Okay.
It was the beginning of 90.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
End of 90.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 15 years ago, sure. Okay. That war has just become very relevant to what's going on in Israel at the moment. Somebody said to me yesterday, yeah, where would you be without the army today, my boy? And it suddenly struck me. The Gulf War suddenly hit me. And I said to him, what did we do in the Gulf War without the army? 39 very powerful missiles hit this country. Yeah, much more powerful than the stuff they're throwing now. The stuff they're throwing now are matchsticks compared to Scuds. One Scud hit Saudi Arabia, killed about 300 people, I think. The Israeli army wasn't allowed to fire back one shot. They weren't allowed to do anything. Hashem tied everyone's hands behind their back in this country, and they just sit quietly and let everyone do whatever they want. You understand? There's no practice in that. And no one got hurt. No one got hurt. One or two minor incidences or whatever, but nothing. And yeah, one of the most powerful, sophisticated armies has gone to war against a bunch of backward terrorists in and getting battered. People are getting hurt, Rahman Salam, on a daily basis.
Also backward.
I'm just, well, we're realizing that now. I meant that in inverted commas, backward. You understand what's going on here? You tell me, go to war and not do anything. Sit quiet. They're throwing chemical war. They don't know what we're going to throw. It was a strong Hashem, there's going to be chemical warheads on those things. And you're not allowed to fight back. And you see, Dashgacha, Kodesh Baruch Hu, not one person got hurt. Nisim Niflay, miracle after miracle after miracle. Yeah? And yeah? So you have an army and whatever. I'm not making practical. I don't know if you ask good answer whether the army should go home or. I don't know. That's what I'm discussing. I'm just making a simple observation. When we say to ourselves, well, what do you mean? I'm going to rely on Hashem completely for Panasa and Ishtadis, I'm not going to make Ishtadis and how I'll live and whatever. The Scud War, Mamash Yochiach. 2001 Yochiach. It's a pain thing that just hit me yesterday. I didn't even realize then. At the time, I didn't realize what a miracle it was. Because now you see it. Now you contrast it to what's going on now. I mean, where would you be without the army? I'd be relying on Hashem. Who would you rather fighting for you now? Who would you rather have on your side? Do you go sit in a quiet room and say to Tehillim and Bavan and do what you're supposed to do? And Hashem says, I'll take care of it. Or you go out and take care of it. Who would you rather have right now? And it applies here. I'm not saying this stuff. It applies here. I think it's a valid observation, by the way. I don't know what you want to do with this observation. Do what you want. They weren't allowed to lift the finger. America tied their hands behind it. Yeah, because America got into a coalition with the Arabs. If Israel got in, the coalition would have broken down. Kodesh Baruch Hu set it up in such a way, and it was also during Purim. It was Mamash Ada, whatever. So we're talking about here, this is the 9 days. You're not going to court to the guy. You're going to go to war with him? Mm-hmm. Who's making the decisions out there? Who's making the decisions out there? So in Yidden? I'm not sure what's going on. I'm not talking about that. I'm just making a simple observation. There was a war. If you would one day tell your grandchildren that you lived in a time when there was a war, yeah, and the Jewish people didn't do anything, and Hashem took care of everything, and no one got hurt, they'd say, yeah, we're talking about Mitzrayim, yeah? In times of the Navim. No, we lived through it. Open miracles. And I remember that there were people saying, yeah, you see, these Scuds aren't effective, they're nothing, whatever. You see 15 Scuds of Israel and nothing's hurt, nothing's happening. You see, the Scuds aren't anything. No one wants to say miracle. The next day, they shot one Scud into Saudi Arabia and killed 250 Americans or something. Mm-hmm. Over a few weeks, they shot 39 Scuds under the number 39. Stums. It killed one Mechal Shabbos guard just on the border of Bnei Brak. Yeah, what would you do without the army? What do you do with this? It's one thing for sure we do if we didn't have the army. We'd daven a lot harder. We'd daven a lot harder if we didn't have the army on the border. You daven harder, Hashem will help. Just to clarify the way a person has to look at things sometimes. I just thought it was me spoiled. It just suddenly dawned on me yesterday. A whole war against a nation like Iraq. There was bombing and we weren't allowed to. Not one finger. Not one shot was fired. And no one got hurt. I mean, you know the miracles. You know, if you go and read their books about that, the kufa, the unbelievable miracles that took place. Nisim, Niflaim, unbelievable. Because it did not hit anywhere. It wreaked havoc in Tel Aviv in those areas. Whole buildings were knocked down. It wasn't like it was landing in open fields. It landed in densely populated areas. It knocked down whole. I've seen the photos. Knocked down buildings, okay? There was no one home. There were guys who decided to go to the bomb shelter and the building got hit. There were guys who decided not to go to the bomb shelter and the bomb shelter got hit. There were unbelievable nisim. But the bottom line is, we were allowed to fight back. Sometimes we make too much. Sometimes we get in the way. We stop Hashem from doing what he's supposed to do. Did I mention it yet? That was Purim. That was the whole thing with Purim. The Gemara in Megillah. Did I mention it yet the other day? No. Why did Esther do some strange behavior? First of all, she's going to meet the king. She's going to meet Ahasuerus. She fasts for 3 days. You're trying to ingratiate yourself to the king. You don't fast for 3 days. You go to the health spa.
Salon.
You know, you go to the beauty salon, you eat healthy, you get yourself radiant, you fit yourself up, right? You don't fast. You don't starve yourself to death, you walk in there looking sick. She invites Haman to the feast. What's she inviting Haman to the feast for? Then they tell Ahasuerus what's going on. And let him take care of Haman. You invite him back again. You know, like it's an ongoing thing. So the Gemara says, the Jewish people were saying, we don't have anything to worry about. Our sisters is with the king. You think she's going to let us get killed? She'll speak to the king, everything will be fine. So they went davening. And Esther understood the only thing that could be oikah the gzeira in Shemayim was tefillah. Now how's she going to get them to daven? So she sent them a message, I've lost my mind. I'm fasting for 3 days, I'm going to go in there and look like who knows what. I've made a covenant with Haman, that's why I'm inviting him to all my intimate parties with the king. And the people started panicking and davening. The people started davening. But she's lost her mind. And she's become a traitor. She's joining Haman. You know what's going to be? And they started davening because they had no one else to rely on. They started davening, and that was the turning point. When you can't fight back, when you've got no one else to rely on, so who do you rely on? You rely on Hashem. You've got someone else to rely on, you don't rely on Hashem so much. You have to wake up a little bit on that Nakuda. So the same with Panosa. It's very hard to have betochen and trusting Hashem or whatever if you're this big shot businessman. You've got all these clever tricks and all these investments and they're doing well and boom, boom, boom and everything. It's very hard not to be koichavoyt samyodi. It's when things are tough and things are, you know, your back's against the wall, then you cry to Hashem, then you can expect some help. Hanogen nisis umufle zu shadora midba kainit strechet b'shaisamoid. But there's a question here, right? Well, there are miracles going on here now. I have to go buy a new suit and I've got to go work for my food. There's no mind falling, correct? That was a unique thing that generation desperately needed. In order to get the Jewish people out of the incredible burden, the terrible suffering of being subjugated by Mitzrayim, you needed to extricate them from the spiritual shibud, the spiritual enslavement that they were totally dependent and totally subjugated by Mitzrayim and the Ashkafas of Mitzrayim. The Yos Knesset Yisrael be Mitzrayim, but the Choychi Oisa Ima She Charosa al Dagola Es Akfir Bashem, for the Gola be Koychi the Oitzin Yodi Oisa Lesa Chayil Aze Oif. Knesset Yisrael in Mitzrayim were what's Chorsa? Charosa? Medaleg means to Medaleg means to skip. They moved. Sorry. They moved towards. Actually, Chorsa al Dagola is a kfira b'Hashem. They had got so involved, they had moved to what's called Kfir Bashem, and Koich Vayitzimor is Chalazir, they got so involved in the non Hashgacha practice way of the world.
Coming out of Mitzrayim, they might have thought that's their own chanoitz. So therefore, you needed all the
money. No, since they were so embedded in Koich Vayitzim Yodi in Mitzrayim, when you took them out, you wanted to get them to understand the Hashgacha practice. You needed to do it with high voltage to extricate them from the Hashgacha Zamitzrim and to bring them to our Korah of the MS. Get to do that using, let's say, shock tactics, right? As a result of this shibud, a lot of Bnei Yisrael, they were unable to detach themselves from a reliance on Mitzrayim and on a reliance of Darchei Teva. You don't have to look too far, you don't have to go to Mitzrayim to see that. Rav Bnei Yisrael today can't do it either. Rav Bnei Yisrael today cannot remove himself from a reliance on the Koich HaVayitzim Yodi and the Darchei Teva. You know why I'm rich? Because I worked for it, kid. There's one big gvir once said to Aaron Kotler, when did you ever work one day in your life that I should give you money? You work here, if you don't work, you don't have. Simple, right? Ask anybody here. They'll tell you. You want to make bucks, you got to climb the ladder. That's Hashkofis Mitzrayim. You got to extract yourself, you got to move yourself out of that. It takes some time, shock tactics. You got to come to Yeshiva for a few years.
What's a gvir?
Wealthy man.
How did he answer?
Who? I don't know. There's a bizoyness there. It's an unbelievable insult. Part of it, Rabbi used to say, is to knock on someone's door and daven the guy wasn't home. Because he just didn't feel like taking the bizoyness anymore. People couldn't detach themselves from the way of life. You know, you get habituated in a certain way of life. You've been in Mitzrayim for how many hundreds of years and whatever, and there's a certain Hashkofa Zachayim, there's a certain reliance on certain things. It's very difficult to function otherwise. You get a little petek on your door when you get home now and it says there's not going to be water for 3 days. The water's being disconnected for 3 days. Starting, where's that? Please prepare, whatever. So you're like, that's difficult. You open the tap, there's water, you rely on it, right? Now suddenly they're busy fixing the pipes for you. The problem, you haven't got water for 3 days. Suddenly your whole world turns upside down. Why? Because you're relying on something that you used to. Suddenly it's not there anymore, and you've got full buckets, and life becomes very icky. See, in Mitzrayim things were pretty straightforward. You were a slave, you know, you got up, you got a little bit of broth or whatever, and off you went. And there was a certain reliance on Darchei Teva. Now you want to take the guy and you want to change his whole life to become totally, totally meshubed and rely on Hashem. So you've got to do that using some high power tactics. לכן כאשר קודש ברוך הוא ידיע להם על ידי המחיו נאמן בייסר כי יגיע אס פיקודוסם ועליהם לא עוזף את מצרים. When the קודש ברוך הוא, when the time came and he notified them via the נביא נאמן בייסר משה רבנו that the time of their redemption had come and it's time for them to leave מצרים, כאב החמישויס מכל ישראל לא היו מסוגלים לצאת. Some 4/5 of the Jewish people couldn't get out, they couldn't extricate themselves. Those were the 4/5 that died in Makas Choshesh, who we dealt with at length in the first Chalek. This is an unbelievably wondrous thing. These people had witnessed 8 unbelievable plagues. Nisim Nifloim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah? The Egyptians are saying, oh, it's the finger of God. Even the goyim are understanding that is Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gam maftiach lehem ki yivom el eretz zvat chalav udvash. Hashem promised them that they're going to come to the land of milk and honey. V'yiten lehem es kol tzorcheim, and I'll give you everything you need. Ramat kol zo yishem einu musugalim etzet. Keitzed yitokhan adoba. After all that, they couldn't get out of Mitzrayim. I don't want to leave America, but I'm an American. You know, the guy sitting in America with his long black coat and his shtramel and his payas. When he comes to Israel, he says, "Me, I'm an American." See, twirling his payas, didn't he? I'm an American. Can't get out of there. Can't. Okay, understand you can't get out of America. But Mitzrayim, after all the muck, the miracles, the goyim are saying it's by Elohim. The Yidden didn't see it. 4/5 of the Jewish people didn't get a drop. What's going on there? A pella. And you have to be careful because it says Ma'aseh Avos Simon Habanim. Kesheim sheyetzim Mitzrayim kach geulosam migolos hazeh. The same way you're in a Mitzrayim, the same geula is going to be like, yeah. 4/5, what the number is going to be? Who's not going to get a Mitzrayim? This Mitzrayim. Kedai li'az bezois etam ha'at mashe ova aleinu. Let me explain to you some things that we experienced. Lachash Shavano is to Kufus Ashor. After somebody's family went through the period of the Holocaust, Sheshachti Shechachati Midi Pam in Imi Sechoch Sechoichosi. We spoke once in Imi Al Oisat Kufa Kasher. So we said this with my mother about that period. His Eire Beneinu Shaila Manienis. We revived a very fascinating question. Whose situation was more difficult? A mother was in a labor camp. Mother's in a labor camp. Him and his father were dressed up as goyim, hiding out as goyim in bunkers and miklatim, shelters. Valiyas gag ubematbanim miday pam. Sorry, valiyas gag ubematsvonim, either in attics in the roof or in basements. Midi pam begon to kufa katzara shininu es mekameinu. We had to move place, like from hole to hole, like little mice. The Nazis would find a bunker, you'd have to run to another bunker, another attic, whatever. Terrible, terrible situation. I wanted to tell her that despite the enormous difficulty and the awesome suffering that they must have gone through in the that was their portion in the labor camps, we call it Mokum, Haisalem Tachnit Musuderis. They had a ordered lifestyle. Baboka and Kamu, Ochloivid Verim Kiblu Manat Mozan Zuma. In the morning they got up, they went to work. At night they came back and they got their little poultry portion of food. Mishu Daiglem, someone was concerned. Not concerned for them, but somebody was taking care of them. Mishu saperotam, hakotam, hishpilotam. There was somebody there that would hit them. There was somebody there that would drive them and push them down. There was somebody that would give them food. Ulam sofko sofia mishu shechoshev aleihem. There was somebody thinking about them. Lumosom anachnu chayenu ba'olam hato. We were living in a void. Lo hayalanu kol musog ma oimed lihitrachesh ba'od rega. We didn't know what was going to happen in the next second. And we didn't know where we should be in the morning. We didn't know where we were going to sleep at night. Where are you going to get food from, and how are you going to survive? No one cared nothing for us. No one would even spat on you. That's an incredible feeling of depression, a terrible, like a void. You wake up in the morning, you don't know where to sleep. You're going to bed at night, you don't know where to bed. You don't know what you're going to eat. You don't. It's a dead. No.
No one sees you human enough
to. You're not even worth spitting on. You're not even part of the furniture. Now, no one's saying that being in a labor camp was a party, but mitzad this nakuda. There's an advantage. At least your day is organized. You know you're going to get up in the morning. You know that. Al pi tchushezu, by means of this feeling, zuliten lasbi et hatalois sheis el yudim b'mitzrayim. We try to understand the dependency, the addiction almost that the Jews had on Mitzrayim. Ramot sheashvilotam, even though they lowered them and degraded them, hakosam Imroitov, they hit them and afflicted them. Zalkris b'naim liyar, they threw their children to the river, they killed their children. Mikol Malkum Sof Sof Hayolehem Mishu Shenitin Lismoy Chalof. They had someone to rely on. Someone to rely on.
Who?
The Mitzrim. They had someone to rely on. If you had a bed at night, you get food, your medical's taken care of.
And you could be killed any minute.
You could be killed any minute. Yeah.
Otherwise.
That's it. Amram. No, that's it. Hey, mishu shechilak lemozen? Was someone giving them food? Amam lechem oini, achay azeh bekol zois lechem. Ah, it was lechem oini. It was a lechem with all that goes with oini, but nevertheless, it's bread. It's a bread of affliction, but it's bread. Le'afid mikol zois uletzet lemidbar lelo kol tachnit. Yeah, who wouldn't want to leave Mitzrayim? Who wouldn't want to go? Yeah, I don't mind going from this to a slightly better labor camp, you know, where at least I get three meals a day instead of one. But you're asking me to leave this and just blunt into the middle of nowhere? But I don't know if I'm going to feed, I don't know if I'm going to get food, I don't know if I'm going to sleep. No tochnit, no plan, no nothing, just step into the big wild void. And you see it in Chumash all the time. Mm-hmm. Better we should have died in Mitzrayim. Mm-hmm. What are you taking us out for? Yeah, at least there we had fish. And yeah. I go to sleep at night, the fridge is empty. The fridge, you know, nerve-wracking it must be. Has anybody ever, yeah, God forbid, gone to sleep at night not knowing where he's going to eat the next morning from? I have a friend who told me once, he once went to, he's actually today a very wealthy guy, he once told me, he went to Dubin and Myrie, I asked him how he made his money, he said, I'll tell you I made my money. I'm talking about, he's lost it, but whatever. When I asked him this question, he was a superbly wealthy man. By American standards, he was humongously rich. I said to him, how did you make your money? By my age. He said to me, I'll tell you, I made my money. He said, I went to Myriv one night, not knowing how I was going to feed my children the next morning, what I was going to get them for breakfast. There was nothing in the house, nothing, and I had not the foggiest idea where I was going to get a dollar from to buy milk. And I went to Myriv, he said, I've never dove into Myriv like that again. So that's how I made my money. I didn't mean that I would lose everything again so I could just dive in a marriage like that again. His life turned around. Unbelievable story. I'm not going into the details, but very soon after that, through certain mistakes that were made by certain people, he met somebody in the two of them, built what was probably one of the biggest software companies in the world. Interesting story.
Microsoft.
No. Microsoft is one of the biggest software companies in the world. What happened the next morning? I don't exactly know what happened the next morning. I don't know what happened. But very soon after that, he became. I don't know what he did. I don't know. I'm just showing you. Those are the Jew understood. How did you make your money? Well, I met this guy and then we did a deal and he never ever told me how he made money. I heard it from his son. He told me how he made his money. He found himself in a situation where, you know, he came home from work and whatever, and there was probably no food in there. I mean, it happened. The people out there, probably the vast majority of the world's population goes to bed every night not knowing where the next meal's coming from. There are thousands of children in this country that go to sleep but not hungry. I mean, these are well-known phenomena.
There's a Mishnah in Tainus that says that when they, when it's a fast day, so they bring everyone out into the square and the guy has to daven from the under. They bring out a guy who's either got no kids or has got no money. He's completely skim because he really knows.
He knows how to daven properly. Yeah. You daven much better when you're sick than when you're well. You do.
Sick. What a pity.
That's what I always say. Don't wait until you get sick to daven properly. Do it for simcha now. Well, what are you waiting for? The Gemara says if a person's got a cold, he should use his imagination to think that they're carrying him out on a stretcher already. The ambulance has come to fetch him. See, if they're carrying him out on the stretcher, you should imagine that they're taking you to the
morgue.
To Gemara. Mm. To Gemara. I don't know where it is. Not a clue. So. it would be. So what? Don't wait until they're carrying you out to start suddenly doing tshuva. You get a little headache, do the kind of tshuva you would if they were schlepping you to the hospital in a coma or something, you know. Don't wait, why wait?
Rob, what you were saying about that staying in the tram and that safety, I read a biography about the Holocaust. This woman said that many of the women in her barracks would call the SS officers daddy and mommy, because they turned to such a point that that was who they could rely on for knowing that was the safety of living or dying. They knew that was the...
How many abused children, abused spouses or whatever can't leave? It's a well-known phenomenon in abusive situations where the abused person can't leave because they become so dependent on the one that's abusing them.
And often have a relationship like that. Every relationship is abused.
Every loser becomes, that pattern plays itself out in the next generation. Yeah. But what you say, I mean, that testifies to. Who is abusing anyone more than that? And yet they became mommy and daddy, because mommy and daddy is that which feeds me, no matter how badly they treat me, but it's still someone I can rely on. That's what you're saying. Unbelievable. Sure. Very tough.
No, it's like Havdol, because it's like school. It's not as bad. My father always used to say to me about school, this whole idea of being comfortable, so you know what you're doing, and like they were comfortable there. He said, when you go to school, so you go there from 9 to 4, you wear a school uniform, you're told what to do. It's all like a whole, you know, you're Christian, you're comfortable there. The same as like I'm saying, Mitzrayim, you know, you have, even though they were slaves, they have like a whole system laid out.
לפרד בכל זו ולצאת למדבר ללא כל תוכנית ללא ידיע מה יהיה מחר ומה איך נזכיים. Not knowing how you're going to survive and what you're going to do the next day, זו דאג גבוה. It's a very high level to give up, even though it was an Auschwitz. But at least it was mommy and daddy. At least it was a mommy and a daddy. 80% מכלל ישראל יום מסוגלים לעמוד בנושא זה. 80% of the Jewish people couldn't withstand this test. רק מעטים היו מסוגלים לעזוב את משענת הכנע הרצוי ולסמוך יותר רק להשם לבד. Only 20% of the Jewish people were able to actually lift themselves up and go into the midbar and trust Hashem only. Even against the enormous suffering that they were having. Can I just finish? I've got two lines till the end of the paragraph. Do you mind? B'meshach av, you can listen if you want. B'meshach avim shnei salichim v'mid HaKadosh Baruch Hu limud otanu perek v'hilchas imunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu in 40 years taught us a chapter of imunah v'betochen. Perek shani lachzor lishori b'kol yom. We have to do chazorah on that perek every day. Kedai ledat shelo hishtone ma'ume. The ikvus maaseinu. Nothing's changed. Gam kasher nachnu mishtadlim b'yone panosa. We make hishtadus b'yone panosa today, not like them. Hishtadus eini meula ele muchreches. The panosa doesn't help. Why do you have to do it? Because you have a chiv to make hishtadus. But hishtadus doesn't help. Panoseinu nusuna ach v'rak b'yad Hashem. Panosa comes only from the Yad Hashem. Gam hakniyoseinu האיטידיות ביד השם הימה, כפי שנאמר, על פי השם יכונו ועל פי השם יוסו, מלבודו אי מאומה. Via Hashem we encamp, and via Hashem we travel, and beside him there is nothing else. And you know what Shabbos is? Shabbos is the day that testifies to the fact that there is nothing other than Hashem. Shabbos is nothing other than Hashem. That's what Shabbos is.